ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Jude as we continue our in-depth study of this really powerful little book. And Jude is writing to people who were being swayed by the false teachers, these apostates who have come into the church and brought their doctrines of demons into the church. And Jude is calling for them to earnestly contend for this faith that's been entrusted to them. Don't give in to the false teaching, but you got to stand up for the truth. You got to stand against these things because these are deadly teachings and they're trying to take you away from God. And what we're seeing today is that we don't want to earnestly contend for the faith, but we want to just get along. And let's face it, that's kind of human nature, right? We don't like to fight. We don't want to get into battles with people. We just want to get along with everyone. But you don't get along with apostates, false teachers who are spreading their doctrines of demons. How bad is it? Well, keep in mind we're in part two of our study on characteristics of false teachers here in Jude. And remember in part one of our study, we looked at four main points that related to they're dreamers, and they had these visions, and they added to the work of God. They took away from the words of God. They had these imagined, or dreams were just coming from the imagination of their own hearts, and nothing to help the people of God by. You know, Paul, in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, talking really about the Judaizers, but you can put false teachers in there in general, said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. In other words, don't listen to them. Don't hang around them because they are leading people to their destruction with their teachings. Well, the next point was they are defiling the flesh. And again, since they didn't adhere to the word of God, they indulge in sexual immorality. And obviously they don't know God. They're not guided by the Spirit of God and they're driven by the flesh. They are also rejecting authority. Again, false teachers don't know God, and they do what's right in their own eyes. And the authority we follow is God's authority, what God has shown us in his word. And we lastly looked at they are speaking evil of dignitaries. You know, they're not following God. They're following their own desires. They're saying whatever they want. And Jude compares these false teachers with Michael the archangel, who respected the authority of the devil, not siding with the devil. And he said, you know, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't speak evil against the devil. Well, this morning, as we continue to look at these characteristics of false teachers, we're going to look at the second point they have. And I've broken it down like this. And this is in your bulletin. They have gone the way of Cain. And this is in Jude 1, verse 11. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and they have perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, what is fascinating to me is Jude just gives these little one-liners, right? There is nothing expounded on this. There's nothing in depth. He just says, hey, this is the way it is. You know, they've gone the way of Cain. They've run greedily for the error of Balaam for profit and so on. Why does he do it that way? Because he expects us to know these things. And so we're going to learn about that today. If you're not familiar with some of these characters here in the Bible, we're going to take a little look at them and see how these apply to these false teachers, these apostates. And here Jude is, again, just giving us three examples. They didn't get away with this, and neither will the apostates of today get away with it. Now, regarding the coming judgment, including these false teachers, one writer put it like this. He said, our society has become well insulated from the reality of hell. In fact, preachers don't preach about it. Writers don't write about it. Evangelists don't even necessarily warn about it. The culture thinks everyone is basically good and life after death is either happy and full of pleasure or it doesn't exist. Hell is neither politically correct, socially acceptable, or even evangelical these days. We have become so comfortable with the absence of hell from our evangelism that our superficial gospel has no threats, no warnings about eternal torment and eternal suffering. But on the other hand, the Bible is very clear on the reality of hell, very clear on the reality of eternal punishment, very clear on the reality of eternal darkness. Scripture tells us that human history ends with God's judgment on all the ungodly. The severest criticisms given in the New Testament are against false teachers, those who led people astray in the name of God, in the name of Christ. Nothing is going to compare to the suffering of the spiritual phonies, the spiritual fakers, the false prophets, the false teachers, the Christian con men, the liberals, the spiritual fakes in priestly garb, the gospel-denying theologians. Theirs is the worst hell of all. In other words, this is a wake-up call. I mean, for those teachers and those churches that are going down this path, it's time to wake up because there is a judgment that's coming. And apart from Christ, you're going to face that judgment. That's how serious this is. So with that as the introduction, let's pick up here in Jude 1, verse 11, and I'm actually going to read verses 8 through 13 because that's the whole context of what we've been looking at, and then we'll focus in on verse 11 this morning. Jude wrote this, "Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in the things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Jude obviously didn't read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? No, I mean, you listen to this, you go, wow, that is heavy, right? Yeah, it's that important. You know, God has this in here because this was a serious thing back then, and it's serious today. And he starts out with, whoa, and that's not a good word. It's usually warning of the judgment of God. In the Dictionary of Bible Themes, it categorizes the use of the word woe in the Bible like this. Woe as an exclamation of judgment on others. Woe as an exclamation of misfortune on oneself. Woe as an exclamation of sadness over others. Or woe may be given to forgiveness, comfort, and deliverance. Yeah, you know, Jude is dealing with these false Jewish leaders, these false teachers. And when Jesus is dealing with the religious leaders of his day, he used the word woe a lot. He used the word hypocrites. Isn't that interesting? These are supposed to be the spiritual men that are supposed to be leading the people of God, and they weren't. Now, it's kind of interesting, you know, today you go, man, you know, if Jesus came back today, everyone would believe him. Well, he was already here, right? And what happened? The religious people rejected him. The common people, the sinners, the ones that knew we needed God, were the ones that ended up receiving him. But the Jewish religious leaders were too self-righteous to see their need for a Savior. They didn't listen to what the scriptures were saying. And when Jesus did the miracles that were spoken of regarding the Messiah in the Old Testament, they said, he's casting out demons by Beelzebub, by the devil. This is not the work of God. They couldn't accept the fact that Jesus is God. And here's the thing. If these false teachers don't repent and get right with God, they're doomed. That's the tragedy. You know, it's in many churches today, people don't like to talk about sin because it makes people uncomfortable. Who are you to tell me that I'm a sinner? I'm sorry, I'm not telling you a sinner, but God is. And he has a little more clout than me. You know, you could agree with me or disagree with me. It doesn't matter. But you disagree with God, there is a judgment. So what Jude is speaking of here is for these apostates, warning that judgment is coming. Don't follow these guys. And this first example is the way of Cain. You know, back in Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel brought their offerings to the Lord. And Cain brought the fruit of the land, and Abel brought a sheep from the flock. And Cain's profession was agriculture, Abel's was livestock. Neither were wrong professions, even though some like to kind of make a big deal of this. These laborers, you might say, were part of the curse, working hard for a living. But they also took time to worship the Lord and bring unto him a sacrifice. So they knew God required sacrifices. And Cain brought an offering from the fruit of the ground. Abel brought the firstborn from his flock. And God rejected Cain's offering and accepted Abel's. Why? Well, you know, some feel that it's because God required a blood sacrifice before him. But keep in mind, God accepted grain sacrifices too. I think there's another important issue here. But first, understand this word offering in Hebrew, in Genesis, is minkah. And it speaks of any type of offering, not just a blood offering. Why did God reject Cain's sacrifice and accept Abel's? Well, in Hebrews 11:4, we get a little insight. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. What was Abel's sacrifice done in? Faith. There's the key. What was Cain's offering done in? Not in faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So Cain didn't have faith in God. This was a religious activity for him. Do we see that today? Well, yeah, there is a lot of churches, cults also, that are very religious in their activities. And God doesn't accept it, just like he didn't accept Cain's. Now, how did they know that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's wasn't? I mean, obviously there had to be something, right? And I personally think fire came down from heaven and consumed Abel's sacrifice and Cain's just kind of stood there. Nothing. There had to be some kind of visible acknowledgement. I'm accepting Abel's, I'm rejecting yours, Cain. And we see it in the scriptures. Remember Elijah's encounter with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. You know, he challenged them to see who can consume the sacrifices that were offered to their gods. And Elijah said, you guys go first. And so they were there all day, you know, screaming, yelling, nothing. And Elijah, he was a little sarcastic, I kind of like Elijah. It's like, hey, maybe your gods are sleeping, you know? Maybe they're on vacation. Yell a little louder. Maybe they can't hear you. I think he was pretty funny with that. And they got even more crazy. They're cutting themselves now and jumping up and down. Nothing happened. So Elijah says, enough. We're done here. And he has his sacrifice covered with water three times. He calls upon the Lord. And in 1 Kings 18:38, we're told, then fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Wow. Yeah, that's a pretty good idea, I think, of what happened with Abel's sacrifice. I think, boom, God accepted it. And I think, you know, I think that's what was going on here. And out of this, because Cain saw how this all took place, his is still there, in Genesis 4, 5, it says that Cain was very angry. He was burning with anger. And because of his disobedience, his countenance fell. His pride was hurt. He was angry. And it affected his whole life. He was not a believer. But Abel was. Why? Because, again, he acted in faith where Cain did not. And for Cain, like I said, it was more of a religious activity, nothing more. He didn't have a relationship with God, just rituals. And, you know, God didn't accept it. And, again, think about the number of people out there who try to approach God doing it their own way. You know, they feel it's fine and they're not going to listen to any other way. Because they're right. But there's only one way to approach God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And it's done by faith. You know, I had a couple Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door a few weeks ago and hand me some information on, you know, why there's pain and suffering in the world. And they asked me if I would read it. I said, sure, I'll read it. And I said, and they said that they would come back. And, you know, as I'm reading this, I'm going, oh, this is great. You know, there's nothing about Jesus in here. So all about pain, yeah, okay, but who's the one that can ease our pain, comfort our hearts? It's Jesus. And why do they leave Jesus out? Because it's all about him. You look at, and I challenge you to do this, look at the cults today. Every one of them denies the deity of Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Because Jesus said in the Gospel of John, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. It's pretty serious. So they attack the deity, and they make him a lesser god or the brother of Lucifer or whatever. They just don't have faith in the true and living God. And there's a lot of people out there who put their faith in all kinds of things. But in the end, you know, it's kind of disappointing. You know, you probably heard this story before from me, but many years ago in the New Yorker magazine, there was an account of a Long Island resident, and he ordered this very expensive and sensitive barometer from Abercrombie & Fitch. Very big company, right? And the instrument arrived at his home, but man, he was so disappointed. And the needle on this instrument was pointing to hurricane. Well, it drove him crazy. He shook it. You know, that's not something you really want to do with a sensitive device like that. And it never moved. It stayed on hurricane. So he wrote this scathing letter to the store, and on the following morning on the way to his office in New York, he mailed it. Well, he returned that evening to his Long Island, and he found that not only the barometer was missing now, but his house was gone because that needle pointed correctly. The month was September, the year 1938, and the day of the terrible hurricane that almost leveled Long Island. You see, the information was there. What was the problem? He didn't believe. And that's a lot of people today. The information is all here, but they don't want to believe. They don't want to read this. Why? Because they're afraid that this is the truth. And then they're going to have to make a decision. I've seen it so often. People will put down the Bible who have never read the Bible. You know what they've read? The comments of other people. That's meaningless. Read the Bible. Start in the Gospel of John or start in Romans. Read Mark, and I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit opens your eyes. But just read it. You don't believe there's a God. You don't believe this is the Word of God. You read it, but be open to what God is showing you. It is kind of amazing what God does, isn't it? For Cain, did he have all the information? Absolutely. Where did he get it from? His mom and dad, right? Adam and Eve. They walked with God. For how long, I don't know, before sin entered the picture. But they walked with God. So they passed the information on to their children. They knew all these things. Abel knew, and he believed by faith. But Cain didn't, and judgment came upon him. And judgment comes to those who don't believe. Psalm 78:22. Because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yeah, judgment comes. And the way of Cain is simple. It's unbelief. Look at next that they have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit. Wow. A heir of Balaam. You could read of his story in Numbers chapters 22 through 25 and chapter 31. And the way you can remember about Balaam, Balaam was a for-profit prophet. He was very interested in money. That was his big thing. And the king of Moab, Balak, hired him to curse the children of Israel because he was afraid of the children of Israel coming in and destroying them. He had heard the stories about them. And so Balak hired him, curse the children of God. What's interesting is God said, Balaam, don't go. And what did Balaam do? He wanted the money. And God said, well, fine. If you want to go, go, but only say the words that I give you. Nothing more, nothing less. So he did that. He spoke forth four blessings upon the children of Israel. Balak kept moving them to different areas. Okay, try and curse them from over here, from over here. And he couldn't. He just spoke forth these blessings. So Balak is just furious. He hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel, not bless them. They don't need blessings. They wouldn't need a cursing. So Balak's not getting what he wanted from Balaam. Do you think he's going to pay him for this? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. What would this prophet do since he's losing money now? Again, that's his whole premise here, is to make money. I believe he told the king of Moab how to get God to curse the children of Israel. In Numbers 25, verses 1 through 3, I think we get the picture. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to their sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. How'd this all play out? Listen carefully. The women of Moab came before the men of Israel and seduced them, enticed them to sin. You know, they were all dressed up, wearing their short little skirts, whatever they wore in those days. You know, makeup to the hilt, and the men of Israel fell for it. And many of these pagan religious practices were centered around sexual immorality, and as they got the children of Israel to have these sexual relations with them, it was based on the worship of their gods. So Balaam could not curse the children of Israel. He got the children of Israel to move away from the blessings of God, and actually they were cursing themselves. And was God angry at them? Absolutely. 24,000 Jews died in this plague. Those that were the leaders were to be hung in place for all to see. And they joined themselves to Baal of Peor. Who are they to be joined with? God. But look at what this did to their lives. The word joined is a Hebrew word that speaks of being fastened or linked together. Here's the key. Light and darkness cannot coexist or should not coexist. We should not be joined together. And it's really hard to try and be joined together and still serve the Lord. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 plays it out for us in verses 15 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What have we joined ourselves to? That's the big question. Are we joined to the Lord? Now, I know the world, there's a lot of temptations pulling us all over the place. But stay focused upon the Lord. this whole incident here with Balak and the children of Israel, who gave Balak this plan? Well, I think it was Balaam. Because in Numbers 31:16, we're told this. Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. We're told right there that this counsel, this information that was given to Balak was done by Balaam.
Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.